T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the Astros and Yankees are getting it in today, and they dropped the first two games of the series, Clint, so there was some concern there. They were trailing 3-2 in the game, and Jose Altuve, on his birthday, the guy being booed and heckled more than anybody in this series, did this.
Altuve drives one deep to left field, all the way back, gone! Jose Altuve, on his 31st birthday, hits a home run that probably feels as good as any in his career, a three-run shot.
That was a big-time shot to give the Astros a lead. But, Clint, were you getting into Panicville? Were you starting to get a little panicked going into to before he went ahead and gave them the lead because they're
losing? For Altuve or with the Astros in general?
Before Altuve gave them the lead there in the eighth, they were looking down the barrel, dropping three in a row to this Yankees team. Were you getting into a little panic mode?
No. I wasn't in panic mode. I mean, you got to believe that these guys at the plate, including Altuve, you got to believe they're going to come around, and I think helps on the way with the bullpen. One way or another moving forward. And so, yeah, I think the Astros are going to be all right. Obviously not a real good look dropping the first two of a series to the Yankees at their place. First time you've seen them since knocking them out of the playoffs in 2019. Obviously not a really good look, and damn sure not going to build any confidence with that kind of performance. But it looks like they showed up today, and at least to this point they've shown up today. And looks like even Altuve may have broken out of that slump that he was in and that funk that he was in. And see if the Astros can hold on to it and get a W.
You're the only person in this room or on this show that can halfway experience anything remotely close to that. How good do you think that had to feel for Jose Altuve, a guy they're coming at him big time, these fans. In fact, during today's game, they're chanting F your birthday.
Yeah.
After F Altuve earlier in the week. How good does he have to feel?
Unbelievable. Now that home run does not feel as good as that one that we just referenced that he hit in 2019 to send the Astros to the World Series. Nowhere, no way close to that one, but it's got to be a good feeling, especially with what he's had to deal with personally here in the Bronx with the fans, you know, taking shots at him personally. And again, look, I'm not trying to poor little old Altuve anybody. I mean, it is what it is. You're a pro athlete. You were part of a cheating scandal, and you're getting banged for it. It is what it is. But it still doesn't take that. It doesn't mean it's not tough as hell to deal with. And when you go up there, deal with that two games, and then in the top of the eighth, you get good wood on one and give your team a 2-run lead. Man, that's it's going to be tough to beat that feeling. That's for damn sure.
Don't want to leave out Yordan Alvarez.
Two of them.
Two of them off of Gerrit Cole today.
That's a lot of hits.
That dude right there, man. He's one of the real keys to this offense and to this team, because him in the middle of that lineup, he could scares you. Like, we talked about that missing from the team last year. They just didn't have somebody right there in the middle that just scares the hell out of you. He right there in the middle with his just natural power is a guy where pitchers are trying. Even Gerrit Cole, who was striking at everybody, scares the hell out of him. And that is a big, big dynamic that the Astros need to have with him in the middle of the line.
No question about it, man. I mean, the thing about today isn't the two home runs. It's who it was against. I mean, yes. Clearly one of the absolute best in the game, one of the toughest to hit in the game. in the game right now, and he effortlessly takes him deep twice to keep the Astros within striking distance midway through the game. So, yeah, look, I mean, Yordan Alvarez, it's no secret. I mean, he's one of the best in the game at this point in time. Just a super phenom at a young age. And good to have him healthy. I tell you, we've watched him to this point in his career, and you think, well, he's a great player, and you realize the greatness, and you just don't think there's any chance he can get any better. He goes and has two knee operations in the offseason and comes back after COVID. Not only still swinging the bat well, but now he's moving significantly better. So when you think a guy couldn't get any better, he goes and gets two surgeries, and here we are. So. Yeah, glad he's an Astro for damn sure.
Yeah, and shout out to Lance McCullers today. 6 innings, 8 strikeouts, giving the Astros a chance to stay in this game against Gerrit Cole, where he knew he had to be good because Cole's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the big NFL story with Aaron Rodgers continues. The Packers, Clint, reported by Adam Schefter, have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on their roster, but the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers in their quarterback situation. So they're looking to potentially get to bring in some other names. Clint, do you think this is a sign that the Packers are starting to prepare that they might have to deal with life without Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think it's a sign that they're going to have to. Now, they may well be in a position one day where these decisions right here end up, you know, helping them in terms of dealing with no Aaron Rodgers. But, I think this is a situation where you look at what you've got right now and you just don't have the ability to execute a mini camp. You don't have the ability to get the guys in your locker room the work that they need. One way or another, you got to have a quarterback that knows the offense. You got to have a couple of quarterbacks that can pull the strings, that can literally put together workouts, execute workouts, lead the team through workouts. And right now, they just don't have it. I would be surprised if Chase Hundley's not the guy, right? I mean, isn't it Chase Hundley?
Oh, Hundley from UCLA.
He was with
what is Hundley's first name?
Brett Hundley. He was with.
That's close though.
Yeah, it was Chase, Brett. One way half does another. He was with the Packers 2 years ago, and so he knows the offense. I would be surprised if they didn't make a move. You know, I think he's with the Cardinals.
Is he?
I think he's either a free agent or he's with the Cardinals right now. But if he is on the streets, he'd be a guy that they could go get and would fill that role for him.
He's known it. You think Jordan Love? They seem to be high on him. You think Jordan Love is about ready? Is he ready to rock and roll? They say.
God, I would think so. He's been in that system 2 years now. This is his second year.
This
will be year two for him.
He was drafted
league, right?
Last year. This will be year.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah, this will be year two in this system. Yeah, I would think that he's got to be chomping at the bit to get in there, and I would think he's pretty convincing at practice and in workouts. I know he was. I think he was inactive the majority of the season last year, which is best case scenario. But yeah, he's obviously an unbelievably talented dude. But he's no Aaron Rodgers, and so I think Green Bay Packers are smart, flipping every stone they possibly can to get Mr. Rodgers to change his stance and get back in the boat with the Green Bay Packers sooner rather than later.
No, I'm with you. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, you're a Super Bowl contender. You got a chance. You've been to the NFC Championship back-to-back years. But my thought, Clint, when you make the move to draft Jordan Love, how long, if you're going to draft him in the first round like that, you start getting up into contracts where, you know, the best thing is, hey, you got a young rookie on a rookie deal. Should this be Aaron Rodgers' last year anyway for the Packers with what they've done?
Well, I don't think it's a stretch that the Packers should at some point. I don't think that time is right now, but I think at some point they've got to at least consider, hey, we've got an MVP caliber quarterback that's got 2, maybe 3 years that appears to be a loose cannon and will bounce at any point in time. You know, they may want to consider sooner rather than later making that trade and accumulating a boatload of draft picks for him while he's still hot and moving on to the next phase of the Green Bay Packers, the next era of the Green Bay Packers. Look, Brett Favre wasn't done when the Packers moved on from him. Peyton Manning wasn't done when the Indianapolis Colts moved on from him.
No.
I mean, there's a bunch of teams out there that could have held in with a
Drew
player.
Drew Brees wasn't done when the Chargers got rid of him. This play is close.
I mean, clearly Tom Brady wasn't done when New England didn't re-sign him. Now those are all different scenarios, but I think it's something that Green Bay should consider, man. That you get two or three first round draft picks or two first and two twos. I mean, that could go a long way in a franchise that's already
because you got to. I mean, because now just evaluation period. All right, let's say he plays again this year. All right. So that's 2 years. So now you're up against what? Now you got 3 years left. If you pick up the fifth year option, you got 3 years left to evaluate to know what you have in Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Before you got to pay him, or unless you say, all right, Aaron's got 2 more years. Now you got 3 years. Now you've literally just wasted that. So they've got to figure out what they have in Jordan Love. So this is an interesting decision for the Packers.
Big 3 at 3, number 3.
All right, big news from Major League Baseball is we had John Heyman on earlier. Use your Odyssey app, use your Odyssey Rewind. He was on with us at 2:35. He discussed this. Albert Pujols for the Los Angeles Angels. They are releasing him like right now. And this is the 10th year of his 10-year contract. They are releasing Albert Pujols right now. John Heyman thought it was interesting that they would do it right now. But he also said, which was shocking to me a bit, that he thinks Albert Pujols is going to have a hard time finding another team to play with. But Albert Pujols' potentially career could be over right now.
Yeah, it's wild to think that at this point in his career they would do it. But clearly, there's some tension between him and the organization.
That's what that has to be. Like, to just end it right now.
I mean, look, it's got to be tough, man, to be that caliber player at that point in your career, and your organization has several different options that I think you yourself would admit are better for the football team for the Angels, for the baseball team, and he doesn't feel like he's done. We'll see if he's got anything left in the tank if he lands anywhere, I can't go anywhere but. That home run he hit off Lidge.
I was about to say, I know Astros fans are.
Just makes me absolutely sick.
He's got to be one of the. Is he the top? Would you say, Tyler, the top Astro killer?
Absolutely. not even a shadow of a doubt.
It's not even close.
No one's close to that. Man.
When he hit another home run out at Minute Maid, and he is leaps and bounds in terms of home runs by a visitor at Minute Maid. He is leaps and bounds past anybody else. Albert Pujols. One of the greatest. He went to high school down the street from me. Albert Pujols.
Kansas City kid, huh?
Yeah.
I tell you, I remember when that happened in 2005. Like
I
watching,
just remember Lidge's reaction.
Yeah, I do too. I remember that too. I've seen it since. But I remember watching the game and feeling like it was fixing to happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, those are the worst as a fan. Where you're watching it like, just don't get him up.
Yeah.
Don't,
well, they're the worst as a fan if it's against your team. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, but
I remember watching it thinking he's fixing to hit this ball out of the park. And everybody that's watching knows he's fixing to hit this damn ball out of the park. And I'll be damned if he didn't. Oh, no, don't do that to us.
In the air left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run.
That's Tom Brenneman, who's lost his job. But
why would you do that to Houston, Tyler? Why in the hell would you do
man,
that?
Man, sometimes you just got to feel stuff, you know? Like, it's good to know you can
just
still
gotta
feel.
Just got to keep people on edge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Got to keep people on edge.
Trust me, I didn't want to play it.
The train tracks, that thing is still rolling. Albert Pujols, apparently, if you listen to John Heyman, thinks that his career may be finished right now. All right, what is the value of Aaron Rodgers? What is the value of Aaron Rodgers? Is he like James Harden, where if you get him on a team, you automatically become a championship contender? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
What is the value of Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. I don't know, as Clint would say, you're splitting hairs. He's one or two, right, is the best quarterbacks in football, even at 37, as my son said last night.
Well, he's one if you consider the help he's getting.
Okay, yeah, you have him over Mahomes.
Yes.
One or two. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback, but whatever. They're one and two. He was the MVP, the reigning MVP, even at, as my son said to me yesterday, oh, you're the same age as Aaron Rodgers? Yes. We're both 37 years old. He's the man. But what is his value? So we've seen four teams that have really been linked to it, where we've seen a lot of different people try to propose trades for them. Denver has been the team that we've heard probably the most. The Raiders, Washington, and then New Orleans. I mean, maybe we just go through each one of these, Clint. But first off, the value of Aaron Rodgers. Is he the type of guy you add him to a team that not only are you a playoff-type contender, you're in the Super Bowl conversation just by adding Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know just by adding him, but definitely I think the majority of the teams you just mentioned, if you add him, you immediately become a contender, yes.
Yeah, so let's go through them. Denver first. Let's start with Denver. And you start to look at their defense, and we're being realistic. With Aaron Rodgers, this would be a lot of trade, like draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
At least three first-round picks we're hearing. When you think about Denver's defense and what they have, maybe they have to give up one of those young players. But right now, they've got Melvin Gordon, the kid Williams they drafted from North Carolina, the running back. He is maybe the hardest runner in the draft. They've got Cortland Sutton at receiver, Jerry Jeudy at receiver. They've got Hamler at receiver, Fant. Is that a crew that if you drop Aaron Rodgers in with Denver, even though they're in the same division as Kansas City, is that a legit Super Bowl contender?
Yeah. I mean, I think they got to stay healthy, obviously, on the defensive side of the football. They've got to stay healthy. But, yeah, look, I think if you add Aaron Rodgers to a team with that kind of skill around the quarterback, I don't care what the offensive line looks like. I mean, I know they haven't been a top offensive line. I know they've had their struggles.
It's been getting better, though. They were better last year.
Well, look, I mean, they've had a guy behind the center that was notorious for holding the football, playing backyard ball, not developing, and not, you know, so let's be honest. I mean, there's a good chance that the offensive line struggled, yes, but there's also a good chance that a lot of that stemmed from a quarterback that didn't necessarily put the offense in the best position to have success. And so I think Aaron Rodgers immediately does that. I think Aaron Rodgers, if the offensive line is a problem at all, I think Aaron Rodgers has the ability and the wherewithal and the smarts to overcome that. But yes, that offense with that kind of star-studded offensive roster,
because he would make all of those guys better. And there's probably somebody on that roster that we don't even know of that he would all automatically raise the level of their play, just like he has with several guys, like that tight end from Green Bay that somehow became a damn Pro Bowler, Runyon, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's very quickly becoming one of my favorite tight ends in the game, by the way. Tunyon.
Runyon, not Runyon. Not John Runyon.
But he's one of my favorite tight ends. I love his celebrations. I love the attitude he plays with. But, you know, the only thing with Denver is the play caller. And I think as great as I think Aaron Rodgers is, you know, the play caller actually matters. And hell, to be completely honest with you, I'm not even sure who the play caller is right now in Denver offensively.
Who is their OC? Because Vic Fangio runs the defense.
This guy's Pat Shurmur.
Oh, that's right. It is.
Is he still there?
But it would be Aaron.
Yeah, I mean,
this would be a Peyton type of deal where he would take it over.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got the Peyton type of deal in him. You know, I don't know that he does. And I don't, you know, Pat Shurmur would be the X factor there. And you know, I think Aaron could overcome a lot. I think he could cover up a lot of warts. But I mean, look, I think it's safe to say that if he were in Denver, they would be a problem. Denver, if they were healthy, Denver would be a problem. It'd be must-see TV.
I'd take them over Buffalo. I would take them over.
Agreed.
Probably Cleveland, with Baker and Josh Allen at the head. I'd take them over Baltimore.
Both of those, they would. The point is they would be in that. They would be in that category. All of those teams you just mentioned are Super Bowl contenders and are legit. They're in the conversation of being the more dominant teams in the league, not just the AFC. And the fact that we just had a brief conversation with them in that group of teams tells you, yeah, I mean, they would be they would be right there in the thick of things.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers' value, if you add him to these teams, would they be Super Bowl contenders? Here's another one I think that's a little easier, New Orleans. If you add him to Sean Payton with Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Traquan Smith, what they have over this, their offensive scheme, and that defense that they had last year, is that a legit Super Bowl contender?
Absolutely. Look, I don't give a damn what they've got to do, you know, what they have around him, and I mean on the defense side of the football. Obviously, every quarterback needs weapons. But with Sean Payton and Aaron Rodgers on a team with the highest paid, is he still the highest paid? Michael Thomas still the highest paid receiver in the game? But Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, with that supporting cast and offensive line that they've built, I know they've lost a couple of guys here and there and traded a guy, but
they just drafted a center with their first round pick last year, so they like him.
So, you know, yeah, I think regardless of what they do on defense, which I know they got some players on defense too, but regardless of what they do on defense, that right there is a team that would definitely give Atlanta, Tampa, and Carolina, their foes in their division, would give them fits and threaten to win the division, yes.
Yes. Here's two more difficult ones, though. How about the Las Vegas Raiders? The Raiders, Josh Jacobs in the backfield, Kenyon Drake they brought in, Henry Ruggs, the Edwards kid, the receiver I know you like, Hunter Renfrow, and then they have a great tight end in Waller. That crew, do you think that is a championship-level team with Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh, that's a tough one for me, man. I'm not a big Gruden guy.
I feel like that combination would be interesting.
It would be interesting. It would damn sure be interesting. I'm not a huge Gruden guy. I've seen Las Vegas play several times over the last couple of years, and I've never bought them as a legit contender. You know, can Ruggs, you know, step up and be the value that they produce at the rate at which they expect him to? I don't know. Aaron's good, though. if I'm going to say no to one of these teams, that would be it.
The Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'd look at, man, I think about Ruggs and those receivers, and then I think, what would Waller be if he had Aaron Rodgers?
Be nasty.
What kind of how could they take advantage of that, and how much Aaron Rodgers would help their running game with Jacobs? The last one, Washington. Washington with Gibson in the backfield, Terry McLaurin. They just signed Curtis Samuel they brought him in as a receiver. That crew, do you think in the NFC East, a weaker division, they would be a Super Bowl contender if they added Aaron Rodgers? Because their defense was big time.
Oh, man. I don't know. That'd be asking a lot for them offensively. He doesn't have a whole lot of help over there. I love Terry McLaurin. Yeah. Isn't that? That's Sarah, an old singer, wasn't
Sarah
it, Sarah?
McLaurin. Always sad.
Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't say that.
They would be one I'm out on. Not quick. I think they win the division. I think they become.
Yeah, it's not going to be hard to do.
Over in the East, but, man, I can't say, yep, they would beat those teams out West. They would beat other teams. I wouldn't say that. Hey. Got some celebration to do, baby.
What we got?
The Astros, hey, baby.
I don't know what we're celebrating, but I'm here for it.
Got off the schneid. They were almost
looking. Oh, is it over?
It's over, baby. They went 7-4. Okay. They were looking at a sweep against the Yankees. And, yes, the Astros get a W. Maldonado 3-for-4. Hit a home run to really seal the deal late. I don't know why Dusty was managing like it's Game 7 or Game 6 of the World Series by saying, I've got to win today. Ryan Pressly, 6-out save, but who gives a damn? They win, and Jose Altuve, baby. It's your day. It's your birthday. 3-run homer to seal and win this game. How about it, Astros?
Altuve cracks out of a slump. Maldonado cracks out of a slump. Bombs all over the place. Beautiful. What a day, man.
Yep. Los is still struggling. Los did go 0 for the series.
Would you rather have a victory versus Cole, or would you rather have gotten won the series 2-1 and lost to Cole?
It's win the series 2-1.
That's a quick answer for me. 2-1.
Yeah, like math.
Oh, you guys, win it. You got it. I got it. That's a quick answer for me. Like, you don't have to think about it.
It's a quick answer. It's
I do hate Garrett Cole, but I like winning more.
You do. I don't know why you hate him, but it's 2-1. Wins.
You guys and John Heyman. Oh, yeah. 2-1. I'll take
the
2-1.
Math thing.
I'll take the 2-1
series.
I'm with
John Heyman. Yeah, the math thing. I mean, it feels better. It feels better. It feels better to win the last day.
You're a stat nerd. You're a math nerd.
I'm not a stat nerd, but you're telling me 2 wins or 1. Which one will I take? I don't hate Garrett Cole that much if I'm an Astros fan. Good heavens to God. Mark Ross, NFL Network. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans draft and where they are as an organization. He's coming up next. Astros win 7-4, baby.
It's a celebration.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, yes. Welcome back in. The Astros, they do win. They win 7-4 behind Jose Altuve as he hits a huge 3-run homer that seals the deal for the Astros. They salvage this series, and they win 7-4. But right now we are joined by Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, former VP of player evaluation for the New York Giants, two-time Super Bowl champ, and a lot of experience of scouting in the NFL. Mark, you're on with myself, Ron, the show, and this is Clint Sterner. I understand you scouted Clint Sterner back in the day, and I'm curious. Yeah, Clint has no idea this is coming. This is what happens when you sneak conversations behind his back.
Dog. This is going to be great.
What do you remember about when you scouted Clint Sterner coming out of Arkansas? Remember, this guy is a two-time second-team all-SEC quarterback. What do you remember about Clint Sterner?
I got to dig deep. You know, the first round, as you remember, those seventh rounders, free undrafted guys, it's harder to remember those sort of players. But I remember Arkansas was rolling it back in the day, though. I got to give Clint credit. You guys were good back then. Had a bunch of guys drafted at the time. And, you know, actually, when I was with the Eagles, we took a guy, Quentin Caver. Clint probably remembers in the second round. I thought he'd be a good player. We missed on him. But, no, he had the program in the right direction there, leading those guys.
There you go. There you go, Clint. Hey. Buddy.
That's better than what I thought was coming.
I mean, I wasn't going to get to, you know, no arms, small, non-athletic.
Don't do that to me.
I was just going to do the good, get you the wins and the positive stuff. High character, winning, leadership.
Tough as hell. Don't leave that out, Mark. Come on, man.
Mark Ross with us. Hey, you've been around the league for a long time, and we want to get into the draft a little bit, but what's just been your overall thoughts with the Texans and now this new regime that's led by general manager Nick Caserio and his group and where they are compared to what they took over? What direction does it look like to you? It feels like the Texans are moving in a better direction.
That's really a tough question. It's hard to say at this point just because you're still not sure what direction they're going in. I mean, I'll give Nick credit. You know, he got thrown into a tough situation. I mean, he took the job. He didn't get thrown into it. But, you know, he's been handling it all the right way, his pre-draft press conferences, post-draft press conferences. After taking the quarterback and everything, he kind of said all the right things to kind of deflect from that situation. But, you know, when you look at the team and the roster, 4-win team last year, and that was with Deshaun Watson. So this year going forward, you're looking at maybe a few more years of struggling if things don't get worked out there. So, you know, if I was a Texans fan, I wouldn't have a lot of high hopes right now. You're just hoping you get some stability.
Mark, what do you think about the hires from Nick Caserio and ultimately Cal McNair, the owner of the team, the head coach David Culley? And look, I know that this is his first head job, so who knows what the hell to expect. But when you look at – I'm talking more about the group that they hired. David Culley, passing game coordinator from Baltimore, wide receivers coach. They keep Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, Tim Kelly, who had the OC title but didn't call plays the majority of his time here. Then you got Pep Hamilton, who's been a head coach in the XFL, head coach GM in the XFL, offensive coordinator up and down the board. And then, by the way, James Campen from Green Bay, you got to believe he's some level of run game coordinator. How do you is that normal as you look around the league when new coaches are hired to have that many different offensive minds and not really seem to have much of a direction of what they want to do?
Well, I've worked with David Culley in Philly for a while, and he's one of my favorite people that I've ever worked with. That's number one. So I think the direction that they were trying to go is just to get as much experience and maybe get, as you mentioned, try to make that a positive, all the different ideas to bring them all together to come with one direction at some point, but to not just say, hey, all these guys think exactly the same or doing the same exact thing, and put them in the room. And so everybody has groupthink. From outside looking in, it's looking like, hey, let's take all these different ideas, these different places, this different amount of experience, bring it in here. Let's take the best of everything and match it for what the Texans will eventually do. So if you're looking at a positive of that situation, that's how I would kind of approach it.
Mark Ross here with us with NFL Network, analyst with NFL Network. You said you worked with David Culley in Philadelphia. Not everyone is a head coach. Not everyone is that. Some guys, that just isn't what their lane is. Do you believe, from your experience with David Culley, that he is a head coach?
Well, yeah, he'll be a tremendous motivator for the team. You know, players that really gravitated, he'd be a receivers coach with my time in Philly. That they really responded to him. You know, he can motivate, and then it's incumbent on someone like that to hire a great staff around him, so he doesn't have to take. But the great head coaches I've been around have been, had a lot of respect from. You know, I've been around Andy Reid and Coach Tom Coughlin, two entirely different personalities, but they both demanded respect. They both were leaders of the entire organization. And you know, I think being around Culley, again, he's one of my favorite people, despite he used to destroy me in tennis all the time. Besides that, you know, I think he's a tremendous individual, and I think he'll get the team playing hard for him.
Mark, let's talk about the quarterback situation. Obviously, we have no idea what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, but the guys that look like they're going to be in camp, you've got Tyrod Taylor, as you would think would be the starter. But then they also just drafted Davis Mills out of Stanford with their first pick of the draft this year in the third round. Do you see that as the majority of folks do, of Tyrod Taylor is going to be the bridge the gap guy here, and you just evaluate Davis Mills as you go along? Or given the situation that the Texans are in, do you see Davis Mills getting a little bit of run this year, maybe sooner rather than later, so the Texans know what they have moving forward with draft picks in the future?
Yeah, I would think Tyrod would play. And just evaluating Davis Mills this year, he's far from ready. You know, he's not one of those guys up top, the Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence's or Zach Wilson's, that you're looking to say, hey, let's go in here and play. You know, Davis Mills was a projection. He's a developmental type of guy who I couldn't see getting thrown out there next year and being a competent type of quarterback. It'll take a while for him to sit, learn, develop his skills. And you know, Tyrod's been there and done that to mixed results. You know, there's a reason why he's a backup. I think, you know, that's kind of what he is, a backup talent, not a playoff winning sort of quarterback. But he does, you know, Coach Culley, they were together in Buffalo as well, so familiar with it. So I would look for this year as kind of a see what happens year, a Tyrod Taylor play year, and then after the next season, reevaluate it again.
Mark, a lot of the talk around here is obviously the Texans, for the first time in a while, know that they've got a first-round pick next year. And with with the Watson stuff hanging out there, could potentially have multiple first-round picks next year. So I think the Davis Mills conversation is one that's hot right now, because what do you do if you're the Texans, right? I mean, if Davis Mills is a guy that you felt like taking him in the third round this year was a good idea with your first, what you can call a premium draft pick. If that's the direction you choose to go, how do you then turn around next year and look at one of your first round picks, and go, okay, we need to take another quarterback, right? I mean, how do you, with your experience, man, how do you handle next year's draft, knowing that you took a quarterback this year, early in the third round? Is that a factor at all or no?
No, not at all. We've seen in the last few years what Arizona did, taking Josh, trading up to get Josh Rosen, and then a year later taking Kyler Murray at number one. They realized they made a mistake, and then they moved on. So I think that day and age of saying, well, we're going to handicap the franchise because, you know, let's hope we're saying Davis Mills is not the answer. You can't say next year, well, we see some apprehension with him. Let's not use his first round pick because we took him in the third. You have to do what's best as a general manager, head coach for the franchise and the betterment of the franchise. And if they're sitting up there with the first round pick at the top of the draft and there's a quarterback who they feel is the guy, they have to take him, and they can't be held back by what they did this year. It's always about moving forward, the positive results, trying to help the franchise grow and get better as a whole, and not just, hey, well, we did that, so we can't do it again.
Mark Ross here with us, NFL Network analyst. And before we get you out, where is Aaron Rodgers playing football next year?
Man, you talk about drama and soap opera, and the NFL Network is loving it. ESPN is loving this. I mean, every writer in America is loving it.
This we love story, it.
This is, it's, I know, it's just, it's incredible how this just got delivered right on draft day, this story that's going to carry on forever. And I don't know. Every day it changes. You hear different things, and it just seems to be a new drama, a new layer added to the drama every day. So I'm just going to say Green Bay. It'll get worked out in Green Bay. He'll be in Green Bay. But I really have no idea the way this is. I've never really seen anything to get to this bad of a spot with a player in a franchise.
Do you agree with Terry Bradshaw when he said that he thinks he's weak by the way that he's going about business here with Green Bay?
No, not at all. You know, I'd say this players nowadays are kind of seeing it. It may not be all Aaron doing this. Obviously, his agent probably has a little play in this, but hey, players are kind of seeing what their voice is now, and who knows what the behind-the-scenes conversations that Aaron has had with the front office, with the GM, with the ownership. So, you know, to call it weak, I don't think that's fair of Terry.
Mark, I just saw where you spent 11 years with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I think I deserve a little more respect from you than that. I mean, I did throw four interceptions in the second half for you Dirty Dogs against y'all. I mean, at least you can do is come on here and talk
you
me up a little
a
bit,
game,
man.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I won you a damn game. I won you more games than some of them damn quarterbacks you evaluated and drafted up here.
How about that?
Come on, Mark. I'll be damned.
I appreciate that.
He was behind Danny Cannell, I'm guessing.
Hey, oh, man.
No, I was with Philly at the time, I think. You went – so, no, it wasn't – yeah, I was Philly. You were what, about 2099, I would guess?
Yeah, that's when I came out, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't get to New York to 07, so I was with the Eagles at the time, the McNabb years. So I don't think you helped us win any games throwing picks with us against the Eagles.
I don't know. He might have. He might have snuck it in against
snuck a pick it in.
All right, Mark, man, thank you. Thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you giving
sure,
us your
my
time.
My pleasure.
All right, that's Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst. And
Well, y'all really set me up right there, didn't you?
Besides this breakdown.
Who needs enemies when you got friends like these two?
God, I love you. I did it for you, Linda.
That's great.
But
listen, let me tell you what Linda's doing right now.
I feel her cussing
Dog
me out.
Dog cussing
right
you.
I feel her cussing me out right now.
I appreciate you putting me up on a pedestal. You too, that's good, man. I appreciate that, man. Really
right
building
now.
Up my confidence, man. I appreciate that, guys.
With a Coors Light, I feel like she's just letting me have it right now. But besides him giving a great breakdown on you coming out of Arkansas, one thing that did jump out to me is he talked about David Culley. And I hit him with the same question that apparently may have ticked off Mark Ingram, a similar question when I asked him, like, is this guy head coach? What are the head coach? And the thing he jumped out with again was the motivator stuff. And that's fine, but it's just never about the X's and O's or never about what he gives you an advantage. And that is just scary to me in 2021 that you're so dependent on what staff, because that's what he said. He's got to hire a great staff. That you're so dependent on what staff you hire to be able to bring the X's and O's part to you. And that is one of the biggest concerns about David Culley, because we heard it again from somebody who worked with him on a staff in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's going to be a concern until the guy, you know, is the head coach for a team during a season, and you have something to evaluate. At this point in time, all we can say is there's a reason why he's been in the league as long as he has. He hasn't been a coordinator, and he hasn't been a head coach. I mean, that's all you have to pull from right now, and it's just the fact of the matter. I mean, there's no whether people hate that or like it or give him a chance or, you know, don't talk down. I mean, it is what it is. I don't care what whether you think it's a good thing to bring that kind of coach in or a bad thing to bring that kind of coach in. The fact of the matter is that there's a reason why he's never been a head coach, and there's a reason why he's never been a coordinator in this league. And when that's all you have to pull from, and then you hear guys that have worked with him down the line, and you don't hear things that you would like to have hear about a guy's resume. It would be nice to hear when you talk to somebody that's worked with Cully. It would be nice to hear somebody say, look, I don't know how in the hell the guy didn't have a head coach job. He was crushing it everywhere he went. He was the alpha in the room everywhere you went outside of the head coach. And, you know, you would like to hear those kind of things, but it always seems like –
Or maybe one out of 10 people we talked to who's worked with him. Can you hear, like, this is what he helped with our offense.
Yeah.
This is what he did with our –
You know, he's a great offensive mind. No doubt.
These are the things he did when we – but it's always, boy, he's going to motivate the hell out of you.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to motivate
– Brings energy. Everybody likes him.
Energy.
You know? Yeah.
But then it's like – Like even if it does work and you hire the right staff around him, like if you hire right staffs around him, that means those guys have a potential to get poached. And then you're dependent again on the people you hire because it's not coming from the top.
Well, that's just going to
like
be.
Like it don't matter who Nick Saban hires as his defensive coordinator. And it's coming from the top.
Yeah. Well, that ain't the case here. I mean, obviously, that's not what you have in Houston. I think you've got a guy that's never been a head coach before, and you got to give him a chance. You don't have a choice. He's going to get a chance, and you're going to be able to see whether he can manage the staff and ultimately put the guys in position on the field to have success and steal some games here and there and win some games this next season. We'll see. But as we sit right now, I know a lot of people think it's negative talk or it's a knock on him, but as you sit right now, it sure seems to be a Dave Campo type of hire where it's, hey man, that I need somebody to sit in this chair that's not going to ruffle feathers while we get all the foundation, the core built, the culture right, and then we're going to go out and make a big splash hire. It from the outside looking in, that's what it looks like David Cully is.
From the text line, the problem is you guys keep looking at Cully as a long-term solution at coach. No, I'm just looking at
– I don't know.
I don't know why we should come in and just say –
The problem is you look
– Like we should just come in and say, yep, this guy's just here for 1 year. Even with that you still want the guy who's going to be running your program –
No, I mean, I just said that we're talking about a guy that's a Dave Campo. It's a bridge the gap coach. I mean, nobody's thinking that he's a short term or long term. He appears to be, for what we know right now, he appears to be a short term, will not ruffle the feathers type of coach. While Nick Caserio builds this organization from the ground up the way that he wants it and positions it to have success. That's who David Cully appears to be right now.
Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up, and Clint's going to potentially give you the secret weapon to Davis Mills. Damn it. All that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.